Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 15 as we continue to study church music. And please keep in mind, music is important, and we want to make sure that we are having a biblical mindset and a biblical idea concerning music. So here we are, and if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Exodus 15. And I'm just going to read several verses here. We'll talk about this whole thing, but I want to go through just a few verses as we begin tonight. And this is familiar to you, perhaps. This is as the people of Israel were released from bondage in Egypt. They get to the Red Sea. Of course, there's a sea there. It's a difficulty, right? And they get there, and Pharaoh's forces are bearing down upon them. God delivers them. You know, Moses stretches out the rod. The seas part, and they go over across on dry ground. And of course, as they finish crossing, God allows the Egyptian army to follow and to get, you know, a ways in. And the waters close in on them and drowns Pharaoh and his armies and all those things. And so all this happens. And I just kind of take a peek at verse 31 there in chapter 14. It says, Israel saw that work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And I just want to say a great big duh. Wouldn't you? If you just saw that happen? Absolutely. Okay, let's read here in verse 15, or chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. And the flood stood upright as in heap. And the depths were congealed. How many of you knew that word was in the Bible? Amen. In the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now, as we continue, please do not disregard the fact that music, singing, sang, you know, all the tenses of sing and music and stuff is given to us over 250 times in the Bible. Okay, and so references to singing and music, etc., is something that is scriptural. All right, and we're going to take a look at all of these things. But as we've been going through, I think I presented a pretty flawless case about the origins of rock type music. Okay, in other words, that's in that we gave a whole list. Rock, pop, jazz, country, R&B, all these different types of music. But it's just, to me, it's so simple. We have an idea about the King James Bible, right? And we know that there's one Word of God. Okay? And we say all the others are frauds, right? All the others are not the Word of God. Well, why can't we do that with music? And people are like, well, you know, but there's this music's okay and that music's okay. Okay, there's one God, all the others are fakes. There's one Bible, all the others are fakes. There's one real church, all the others are fake. Hello, do you not see the pattern? I see the pattern. And so we've got to realize that there is right music and all the rest is hello. Okay. See, it's that easy. And we can know what you say. Well, what defines right music? Well, we're going to get to that. The Bible defines right music. So last week we talked about the origins of rock music and other, all those other breakoffs of music, etc. Well, let's talk about the origins of music as far as the Bible goes. Now we have the first, go over to Genesis and chapter 3. All right. We see here, we see chapter 4. Chapter 3 is the fall of man. Chapter 4, we have Cain and Abel, right? And that debacle, that was a terrible thing. Cain gets kicked out, if you will, and he becomes a vagabond. And he goes on, and we see here that Cain had some wives and had some children. And we know here that Jabal was born, one of Cain's sons, in verse 20. And he was the father of such as dwell in tents and have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Okay, so we have here the harp and the organ as the first two musical instruments mentioned in the scriptures, right? As far as songs and singing goes, Exodus in chapter 15 is the kind of the first song in the Bible. So remember what I told you about first mentions, and we're talking about origins, right? So we have these types of things, and please realize that we need to look to the origins of music as far as what God wants. So if we look at the people of God, if you will, this is something you can find as far as music history is concerned. You can see where different origins of types of music come from. It's historical, folks. It's a historical record. All right? Now, the idea of the Bible Israelite history, the history of music, as far as it goes for those things, they have some basic denotations about their music. Okay? And so I looked this up, and this is something that's recorded. But please realize that there are certain things that make up historical Israelite music. Okay? God's people. Now, remember, if you can remember back to Sunday school, right? You have Adam and Eve and all those, right? And then it goes along, and then we get to Noah, right? And we have the flood, right? And then we have all of that genealogy and all of that history. And then we have the Tower of Babel and all that, right? And the nations are dispersed from there, okay? Different languages separated and things go out. But in a sense, you basically have, you know, Ham in one part, right? Shem over here in the eastern part. Japheth kind of goes to the north part there. And then, of course, everything branches out from all of it. You all understand how this all works, okay? And so you have all these things, and you're going to have to realize that as far as God's people, they are of the race of Shem. Okay, you all understand that, okay? As a body, if you will. And Ur the Chaldees, you have Abraham being called out, right? And he goes to the land of Canaan, where all the Ites are, right? We have all the Ites. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all the Ites, all right? And you have all those people. You have all of these things. So when you go back in history and look at music, you have to look at the cultures and the kinds of music that they have historically had and that are on record. Well, one of the difficulties about the rich traditions of the Israelite and historical Israelite music is there are no surviving actual written musical notations from the ancient Israelite periods of time. Okay, so you can't just say, well, let's go look at the sheet music that the Israelites had. Well, they don't have any. All right? So, in other words, these things were passed on from person to person. Look at Exodus 15. Did you notice the wording here? It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. All right, so, Brother Camp, you know, you just led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and there's this great victory, and so you get together all the children of Israel, and you say, okay, we're going to have choir practice. And I have a new song for you to sing. And you give out the sheet music, put those in your binders for me, and make sure that the sheet protector's in there so we can preserve the music for later. Is that what happened? And they got together and they practiced. All right, Mrs. Camp, would you please play the melody for the ladies? La, 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 la. All right, now the tenors. La, 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 la. Altos, okay, basses, all right. All right, now let's try to put it together. Stand. Is that what happened here? No, but listen to what happens. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. They all sang it. And it was a new song. This just happened. Okay, so there's a uniqueness to the type of music that they had. And by the way, this is God-given music to God's people. So how did this ancient Israelite people of God type music go? All right? Now, there are no surviving written musical notations from this period, but this means that scholars that want to know about this, the history of this music, have to study from the cultures and the history traditions of the Israelite people and other regional groups of people and cultures. Okay, those that are around them. All right? So in that area of the world, etc. So here are some characteristics that we can see about the Israelite music. Now, this is going to be a little bit technical, so I'm going to try to explain some of these terms to you. They're musical terms, but I'm going to try to explain them to you to help you. Because if we're going to take time to study the origins of rock, pop, jazz, country, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, let's take some time to study the origins of God's people and the music that they had. All right? So there's something called a modality. Anybody know what a mode is? As far as a musical term. Okay? Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. Okay? He is studying music. Andrew, I would expect you to know the answer to that. All right? Now, I'm going to give a... There's probably a more broad definition, but I'm going to give a brief definition of the... And this is not like your pie a la mode, you know, which I would like with ice cream. Okay? But this is called the mode, okay? Now, the music of the ancient Israelites was based on something called modes, and I'm going to describe it in just a moment. These are scale structures with different functional characteristics within the scale. So it's a structure of the music, the mode of the music, okay? Now, in music theory, the term mode or modus is used, I told you you're going to get technical. Right, is used in a number of distinct senses depending upon the context. Its most common use may be described as a type of musical scale coupled with a set of characteristic melodic and harmonic behaviors. All right, so that's when we say the mode of the music, that's the structure of the notes of the music, the scales and stuff. Okay, so it is applied to major and minor keys, as well as the seven diatonic modes, which are defined by their starting note or what's called the tonic note. Okay? Now, related to the diatonic modes are eight, if you will, church or Gregorian modes, which authenticate plagal forms of scale and are distinguished by ambitious and tenor reciting tones. Okay, so that's a kind of a, it's a lot of information. Okay, all I'm just trying to say is the historical Israelite type music had structure. All right, structure. Now let me just say something about rock, pop, jazz, all of these other things. They don't like structure. Okay? They want freedom. All right? And they want to just go where they want. And by the way, one of the major things that differentiate rock and jazz and pop and blues and all that is the idea of improvisation. Right? I can just play whatever note I want. It's kind of like me in English. I could just say words however I want to say them, and I'm rebelling against the structure. Okay? Actually, I'm one that's trying to retain the structure of English, right? To heh. Okay? I'm going to read everything to heh instead of the, just because I can't. Right? Why not? Okay. Reform. We're going to reform in the English language. Amen? Now, that's modality, okay? Now, another thing, another characteristic that ancient Israelite music had in it as far as a part of its structure was something called a diatonic scale, all right? Now, this is basically what it is it's the notes, okay? And it's based on, just take a guess at the number of notes. Anybody? Seven! Seven notes. Can anybody tell me why? Yes. Completion, perfection, seven. Okay. And you say, but we do eight notes. Well, not really. Because you have the first one, right? The second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. And then what is the eighth one? Just up an octave, right? So really it's, oh, how many? It's seven. Okay. So, that is something that this kind of music had. All right. So in each scale, there are seven notes. So we see completion, 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 completion. All right. So God wants it to be that way. He wants things in order, to have structure, but also have these ideas of completion. And so the typical or common Israelite type music is based on seven notes. Now, what do modern compositions try to do? They stretch it. They add notes. Sometimes they take away notes. Sometimes they alter notes. Okay? Why? Because they want something that sounds different. Okay? And so we've got to realize that this is how it how it should be. Now there's something else that they did. Ancient melodies often incorporated something called quarter tones. How many of you have heard that term before? Okay, thank you. And again, I expected that. All right. Now, quarter tones, these are a common practice in Semitic music. Now, what is Semitic music? That of Shem. Okay? The children of Israel, or the Chaldees, where Abraham's from, that whole area, those are Shemites. Okay? The sons of Shem, the grandsons of Shem, etc. And so, obviously, that just makes sense. It's kind of another duh moment. Okay? Now, how many of you have ever heard music from that part of the world before? Okay, it's interesting, isn't it? Okay, it's unique because they use things like this. Now, it does have a modality. It's based on scale structures with functional characteristics within the scale. It has diatonic scales, seven note scales, and they use these things called quarter tones. Now, a quarter tone is a pitch halfway between the usual notes of the chromatic scale. Okay, so if you go in there, we have things called sharps and flats, right? Or on the piano, we have black keys and we have white keys and those types of things, right? So, and by the way, back then, there were no pianos. Okay? What were the main instruments? The harp and the organ. Okay? Those were there. And it's not the organ like we think of an organ is. It's not like that thing over there. Okay? That's based on a piano of sorts. But these are the things that they had. And these are intervals about half as wide as a semitone. And as I look this up again, by the way, please forgive me. It's been 20 years since I studied music theory. Okay, so I'm revisiting a lot of this stuff, so I've had to look it up again. Because you know that old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Okay, that applies. Okay, so I had to relearn some of this stuff. I even went up and got my old college notebooks and was going through my advanced music theory book again. I'm like, oh boy, I need to go back to college. Okay, and that's what I said. So I put it back on the shelf. Now, this here, I kept hearing, rereading the term 50 cents. All right, so half a dollar, you know, half as much. All right, that's the kind of term that they use as far as these quarter tones go. And so they use these quarter tones in the music structure. So they have the seven tones. And then they have the quarter tones, the tones in between the tones, for these things to use, okay? Then we have something called ornamentation. So ornamentation in ancient Israelite music are melodic patterns within the mode. Okay, so we have a structure, right? We have the tones and we have the quarter tones. And then they would decorate the melody with a stepwise ornamentation. Okay, so maybe a moving up and a moving down, but it was always in order. Okay, by these tones, by the scale, the seven notes of the scale, and the quarter tones in between the notes of the scale, but they did it by structure and order. Okay, today, we take a basic structure of a song. How many of you have ever listened to the singing of the national anthem before a baseball game, a football game, basketball game, whatever thing, right? And listen, it is almost impossible for me to sit and listen to one of those. Because, I mean, they are all over the place with artistic representations of it. And it's almost impossible to listen to as a musician. I'm like, oh, don't do that to the note. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? So that's not ornamentation. That's improvisation. That's what people are doing today. And by the way, there's no structure to it. They're just singing whatever they feel or whatever sounds good to their ear. So they're going off script. Okay? So there was ornamentation. In ancient Israelite music, there's also rhythm. Now, say, oh, see, Pastor? Rhythm. It's there. I already told you about rhythm. Rhythm is to help keep the structure of the music. All right, now let me read to you about the ancient Israelite music. The rhythm of their type of music was rich and complex. Now, though it lacked the regular meters found in some other musical traditions, and let me tell you what a meter is. Meter refers to the regular recurring patterns such as bars and numbers of beats. So when we have a song, we say it's written in 4-4 time, okay, or 3-4 or 2, you know, whatever it is. That's the meter, okay? That's the basic grouping of the notes, all right, to keep a structure. Like 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, or 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Okay, that's the meter. So their music didn't really have particular regular meter, That came along later in music. If you look at Moses' song here, by the way, I'm going to jump around here. All right, now, let me just keep reading this. Unlike rhythm, metric onsets are not necessarily sounded, but are nevertheless implied by the performer and expected by the listener. A variety of systems exist throughout the world for organizing and playing metrical music, such as the Indian system of tala and similar systems of Arabic and African music. Western music inherited the concept of meter from poetry. Okay, so if you sing roses are red, violets are blue, you know, sunsets are pretty, and so are you, okay? You like that? I literally just made that up now. Okay, that was amazing. Thank you, Lord. All right. Does that give me bonus points, you think? Right? I thought so. There's a meter to that, okay? So those types of things. Now, despite the rich tradition there, I'm sorry, I already read that. Let me go back here. Poetry. Where it denotes the number of lines in a verse, the number of syllables in each line, and arrangement of those syllables, long and short, accented or unaccented. So when we sing our hymns, right, they have a meter to them. And the words rhyme, they go in line, so it's adapted from poetry. Okay? That's why it's difficult sometimes to translate hymns into different languages. Because they don't match up with the meter of the tune. Everybody see what I'm talking about here? So think about this. If you're going to sing a song to the Lord, just off the cuff, I mean, you go through here. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host doth he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed the enemy in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee when thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as a stubble. I mean, I guess you could put that into a meter of a song, but it might be kind of difficult, right? And please realize this was in Hebrew, not English, etc. Okay? So meter was the rhythm. It didn't have a regular meter like we would. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. But they had a varied meter, okay, based on the words of the song, okay, how that went. And the tunes went along with that, but there was a structural order to this music, okay? Now, we have to look at what God created and passed on from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, the children of Israel. God is a musical being, and he gave to his people his word, right? He gave to people his laws. He gave to people the order and structure of how to behave themselves amongst the world's population. Don't you suppose he also taught them about music? The Levites were in charge of the music and the worship, okay? Now, don't forget, I am developing a different way of thinking toward music. I feel like we have been using music the wrong way for a very long time. It seems very clear to me that music has a purpose. And that purpose is to worship God. We use music to calm our fears, make us feel good, relax, have entertainment. I don't see that in the scriptures. Who are they singing to? Exodus 15. The Lord. Go over to Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. We're going to flip to the New Testament for just a second. This is a popular verse that we look at concerning music, right? Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 16. All right, now, Remember, we have psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, right? All these things. But look what he says here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Yes. It's popping at me. I don't know why. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to this. Singing with grace in your hearts to one another. No. To whom? To the Lord. You understand that when we look at the scriptural basis of something, we need to look at these things of why it was even created, why we even have it. And let me just throw this out at you. Music's not for you and for me. It's for God. Now, can we receive benefits from music? Yes. But the motive is that I'm not playing that music to make me feel better. I'm playing that music to worship my God. Or I'm singing that music to worship my God. See, I think in, especially in modern churches today, music is all about us. How does it make me feel? And I was even talking to a preacher friend recently about this. We look at music, and sometimes even in the ministry, we say, okay, I want to play a song that will put people in the mood to receive the message. Now, that's a great idea, if you will. But may I contend, I don't think that's what music is for. Now, if you sing a song to worship God, will you be put in the mood to receive the things of God? Oh, yes, you will. Okay, so it's a side benefit. Are you all hearing that? Is it going to explode? I don't know. Okay, it's popping at me. I don't care if you don't like what I'm saying. It's the truth. Take that. That's what I thought you had to say. Nothing. So we've got to look at the historical context of things. It's important to redefine what we think about music. Okay? So let me talk about what we have concerning music. So, as far as music is concerned, our music, the kind of music that we utilize in our lives as Christians, in our churches as Christians, in our homes as Christians, should be the kind of music that God has ordained and God has designed for us to have. Okay, so here's some things about music that's going to match up with the historical idea of what the Israelites had in their music, because guess who gave them that music? God did. Okay, now, obviously, you're gonna notice that there's been some transformation of that music from ancient times to modern day Israel. Okay, so I'm not saying go grab the latest Israeli CD of music and pop it in your car. Okay, in your CD player. Do we have still CD players? Okay, don't bring it up on Spotify. All right, the latest Israelite music. Okay. But I read to you the ancient or the historical account of that kind of music, the origin, all right? So think about this. When we look at the structure of music today as far as what we might call conservative music, stop it. That thing is bugging me, I don't know why. Now, conservative music, okay? Conservative music adheres to a strong tonal center using familiar scales and chord progressions that create a clear, accessible, and predictable sound. Now, does that sound like the ancient Israelite type music? You have modality, You have diatonic scales, the quarter tones, the ornamentation, the rhythm. This is something you can count on. Right? For instance, when you hear church music, you say, that's church music. Right? Just like when we go out and we knock on a door, we're dressed up. The kid behind the door says, Mom, it's the church people. Why? Because we're predictable. We're clear. Right? Precise. It is what it is. And so, there should be no question. When you hear music, you should hear, oh. Ooh. See? God's loving this. He's helping us here with some thunder, okay? I like it. Now, we should hear that there should be a sound about it, right? If you were to hear the Semitic type music, you would notice what? Oh, that's different, right? And there is a difference. And let me just tell you something on an aside here. We'll get to a few verses here in just a moment. But I did not grow up with just this kind of music. Now, we had church music in our churches. But I grew up with a lot of other music. And once I was taught that there's a difference between right music and wrong music, that there should be a structure, there should be a certain types of scales. And by the way, we're going to get into some more technical terms later, but I got to build a foundation first. Okay? And so we're going to get into those things. But can I just tell you something from my own experience? I basically heard all the different kinds of music that you can hear with these ears right here. And when a church group or a Bible college group or this or that group or whatever, when they get up and I put in a CD and I hear, I can tell just by how it sounds. Is that church music or is it not? There's a certain sound to it. And so we've got to realize that the right kind of music is going to have that thing where the melody isn't that strong tonal center. And what is that? That's the modality. There's a scale structure that's strong. It's representative. It's clear. It uses a familiar scale. Not all the... Okay? Not all that. It's a da 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 da. Okay? That's clear. There's a structure to it. And it's something that is a predictable sound. What does rock, pop, rap, blues, jazz, country, what do they all like? They all like that unpredictable sound. That coolness that's there. Right? That's what they're looking for. Something out of order. Also in conservative functional music is a functional harmony. The harmonies follow rules where the chords move in predictable ways toward a resolution. You know what Satan likes? He likes things unresolved. You know what God likes? God likes things resolved. There's a story told of an instance where it might be the light. Is it lightning probably causing pops and snaps? I just saw lightning out there, so maybe that's what it is. So God, I'll let you do that. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I didn't mean to criticize you over there for popping. But I talked to technical equipment. Like, you dumb phone, restart! You know? Anybody talk to your technology like that? Yes, absolutely. Okay. I revert back to my Navy days. If you can't fix it, get a bigger hammer. Works great for computers, you know. Now you have to buy new computers all the time, but you know, it worked. Where was I going with this? I was talking about something. Oh, the story. So in this musical dormitory, there was a supervisor, was one of the music professors, and the students would come in just before curfew, and they would come in, and they would, can I illustrate? They would do this. They would come in, and they would go. And go to bed. And the music professor would come out of his room, and all the kids would be waiting, kind of peeking out their doors, because he would do this. Because it was unresolved. He just couldn't stand it, you know? He was like, gotta finish it, okay? And because resolution is so important, according to God's design. So resolution is important. If you will, this is this type of traditional rules of harmony where things move in predictable ways toward a resolution. This is in contrast to non-functional or what's called atonal harmony, where chord relationships are more ambiguous. Guess what kind of music has that? That whole list of other ones. So here we're building a case where there's structure, there's function, there's order, and then there's rebellion. And that's the bottom line. As far as the philosophical things, we have to understand that the modern types of music of today consistently want to break the rules. And if you will, church music is not supposed to do that. We're supposed to follow the rules of music. We're supposed to follow the order that God has set forth for music. He gave it to His people. It's a historically accurate thing. Even though there aren't any copies of sheet music floating around from the tribes of Israel today. But we see it in the example and in the formality of their music, how they form it, etc. Now, I want to read a few passages of Scripture to you about singing and music. But we know this. We've read some of these before. Just very quickly. And David spake to the chief priests and Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Okay, so it should be a joyous sound, a sound of victory, a sound that's clear and precise, not one of confusion. We read last week the place where Moses and Joshua came back, and what did Joshua hear to his ears? Sounds war. Moses said, no, it's those of them that sing do I hear. And Moses could recognize it. And by the way, where do you think the Israelites picked up some of that bad music? Egypt. What's Egypt a picture of? Okay, so we can logically make these associations. We can understand that. Let me flip. I have too many scriptures today. Okay. 2 Chronicles 34. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jathan and Obadiah and the Levites, the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Melisham, the sons of Kohathites, to set it forward of other Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Because there's a skill involved. In other words, there's an order to learn. I mean, do you think it's easy to learn the different modes and the scale structures of music? Just ask Andrew. He's been studying it. My wife, she studied it. I've studied it too. I have a degree in music education. But there's a certain structure. There's something called chord progressions. Alright, so your chords, which are groups of notes. Michael, you've studied this. Who else has studied music in here? My brother Losi. Alright. Angelina, did you raise your hand? I saw you flip it real quick there. Okay. Alright. You study music? I thought you just honk on that thing over there. Isn't that all you do? Quack, squeak, squeak, quack, quack, quack. Oh, I didn't think it took study to play the clarinet. Okay. Oh, be quiet, blowhard over there. It's fun. This is just like me picking on other branches of the military. It's a camaraderie that we all have together. So, but one thing that we can agree on is that woodwinds are the best, right? Okay, so we can agree on that. Yeah, I know you don't agree, but that's okay. Not everybody has to agree, but et cetera. Now, so these things it takes skill. The Bible says play skillfully, right? And so we've got to realize that music has an order, it has a history. And I just want to emphasize the origins. So maybe we need to rethink of things that we think about music. Music that has structure, music that has order, music that has... I love that sound. I want to quit preaching and go out and watch the lightning show. Okay, and that's what I really want to do inside, okay? But I'll put that in a moment. Now, what we need to realize is that we need to look to God, to His Word, to the over 250 examples. Okay? Now, I just printed about 60 of them on this page here, and I'm not going to read them all to you tonight, okay? But I want you to realize that God has a purpose for music. Let me just read some of these out of Psalms. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. What did the heathen get out of the music? That the Lord hath done great things for them. So they shouldn't get out of the music, oh, how nice this sounds or how this makes me feel. They should get out of it. What great God we have from the music that we sing to Him. Isaiah has a lot of things about music. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, breaking forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. Isaiah 49. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. I like Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Wonderful things about singing. Ephesians 5. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Now, this is similar to Colossians. Paul is not telling the church, do these things for you. He's not telling them that. That's how it's often misconstrued. People say, oh, the spiritual songs, they're for me to feel better about myself. No, they're not. The hymns and psalms, they're to calm my heart and calm my spirit. No, they're not. That's not what they're for. Now, will they do that? Yes, they will. But that's not the motive. The motive is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Because when you sing to the Lord, it makes you right with Him. And it makes you praising Him, which makes you feel good. And that's good. But it's not for you. It's like I tell people about the blessings of God. God wants to bestow blessings upon us, but they're really not for us. You realize that? You see, oh yes, they are. God wants me to have His blessings. Yes, He wants us to have His blessings so we'll continue to or be a better servant for Him. So what are the blessings of God really for? They're for us, for Him. That's what they're for. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying there? So that's what music is. God's given us music. He's made us musical beings so that we can sing to Him. And guess what that does for us? Makes us feel good. Because we're singing to Him. So, I think I've successfully told you about the origins of music. Now, again, I could teach semesters on this idea of music history. Okay, to fit it all in a small amount of time is just a kind of a scratch on the surface of it, okay? But there's a structure. There's an order to it. There are the functions of it. It's supposed to be melody, harmony, rhythm. God wants it in order, and it's for God. It's not for us. And so we need to be able to learn to recognize what music is coming into my ears. On the radio, from our cars, from our phones, from the TV, but from wherever, from a church service. And by the way, it should have a distinct sound. God likes distinction. He doesn't like things that are convoluted. And by the way, you've heard the saying, when in doubt, don't. So you know what? If you're not sure about that music, just don't listen to it. How about that? Don't say, well, it could be okay, so I'll listen to it. Maybe it's not okay. Just in closing, remember what Paul told Timothy today as I preached this morning? He said, you're sure of the things that you've heard. You've been taught them. You know from whom you've learned them. These are sure. You know my manner. You know my manner of life, my behavior, my faith, Hey, Paul, there's no great. You either know it or you don't. You can be sure of these things. Listen, music is not one of those things that we should be unsure about. And if you are unsure about it, say, man, you know what? I'm just not going to listen to that until I can study some more. Because I don't want to listen to the wrong kind of music. And I don't want to be a part of the wrong kind of music. So, no thanks. I'll just stick to music that I know is right. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.